This is Season 8, Episode 25 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters, celebrating 40 years and on the 4th of each month. Hey, that's today when we're recording this. It's the 4th. So they have a throwback event, which includes 83-cent wings and other great specials. Remember, they also have $6 drinks all day, every day, not just on the 4th of every month. Thanks to Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email is wright.todd@yahoo.com. Would love for me, for you to send me the results of your drafts. I'm going to talk about one that was sent to me recently. I'm going to keep the person who sent it to me anonymous because he is one of my fantasy football podcast players. So I don't want to expose who he took because other podcast listeners are going to be playing against him when we have our draft at Hooters coming up. And I'll look forward to talking about the results of all that. Remember, I'm on Instagram at ToddWright2121, Twitter at ToddWright2121, Facebook, I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida, and I welcome you to reach out to talk fantasy with me. My non-fantasy podcast, the Todd Wright Toddcast, just returned, sponsored by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. You can check that out with my playoff predictions for the 2023 National Football League season. Just Google the Todd Wright Toddcast. Google the Todd Wright Toddcast, and you will find it on various platforms, including our distributor, joebucksfan.com. Let's do three things today. First, as I record this at lunchtime on Labor Day, hoping you will hear this by no later than Tuesday afternoon. Via RotoWorld, quoting The Athletic, that Damian Pierce's workload may not be as big as some thought, which could impact those of you that have already drafted Damian Pierce, and for those of you that still have fantasy drafts to come and have interest in Damian Pierce. This does not affect me because I've already talked openly about my disdain for the Houston Texans for the second year in a row, and I need to see things to believe them to see if players hold any fantasy value, and if they do, I can make an effort to pick them up for free on waivers or make a trade if I find there's good value there. Mike Jones of The Athletic writes as of 12 noon on Monday that the platoon would go against some of what we saw earlier this preseason when Pierce handled every down snaps at various points in games, but that could have been nothing more than practice reps, particularly on third down. The Texans opted to not bring back last year's third down back Rex Burkhead this offseason and have a bevy of third down snaps up for grabs. Burkhead ranked 12th amongst running backs in third down snaps last season, which stand to be split between Pierce or Devin Singletary this season. Pierce has been a preferred pick by those fading the running back position early in drafts, but could come with some added risk if the split is greater than imagined. He would still project as a top 24 back in PPR leagues. Of course, none of my leagues are PPR, but the hidden upside that's centered around added snaps and work in the passing game is at risk of being snuffed out. This is very simple. PPR, no PPR. It feels like, based on this report, and if this report is accurate, Pierce will not touch the ball as much as some expected Pierce to touch the ball, as he did for the bulk of the 2022 season before we got to the end of the year when some weird things were happening, which tend to occur in a loser Lovie Smith on a loser Lovie Smith coach team. They're no longer coached by loser Lovie Smith. They're coached by D'Amico Ryans, but clearly the offense is in other hands, and Pierce may not have the workload that some expected, some who have already drafted him. So we start there. Now let me go backwards a little bit because Matthew Berry had something that I thought was fun as it relates to, he did his 10 lists of 10, which is kind of cool. Matthew's a good guy. He's creative. So it's not just a top 10 list. It's 10 lists of top 10s. And you can find that for yourself at NBCSports.com in the RotoWorld/fantasy sports section. I liked, excuse me, list two. He calls them my 10, quote, chicken players. And he says, here are 10 big name players I am just kind of nervous about. Barry goes on to say, all talented players, all ranked where they should be. But as I've been drafting, when it comes time to pick that player, something about them just gives me nervous vibes. And I find myself passing on them and drafting a different, similarly ranked player. We've all been there. I was just there the other night in my foundation league where I did or didn't do something on a particular player because, let's call him a chicken player, as Matthew Barry does in his list. So the first thing I did, by the way, was look at Matthew Barry's list of 10 and see if any of the players I drafted in the foundation league are on it. And yeah, one is. But I took him in the ninth round, and I didn't take him as a starter, and he's a tight end, and we don't have mandatory tight ends. Niners offensive players tend to get nicked up, but it's still a big-time offense, so we'll see. Barry could be right, but let's talk about them in order of the 10. We'll just name them, and you can read the rest of this for yourself via NBCSports.com. So Barry's list, in order 1 to 10, DeAndre Swift, and he makes an interesting observation. He simply says, Eagles don't pass to their running backs. Number 2 is Mike Evans. I believe he published this before the Mike Evans deadline was put in place. I did an entire TV segment last night on Spectrum News 9 in Tampa Bay and Spectrum News 13 in Orlando, Central Florida, about the Mike Evans situation. And one of the interesting things about last year, and I know Evans has had 1,000 yards every season, and I think he's a Hall of Fame player. Last year, though, he did virtually all of his damage in two games. One the Bucs won and one they lost, against a bad Carolina Panthers secondary. If you remove those two games across the other 15 regular season games, Mike Evans averaged less than 4 receptions per game. And he would not have hit 1,000 yards. He would have been barely over 800 yards. That's just the significance of what he did in two games against a Carolina Panthers secondary, one game in particular where he abused a bust Florida Gator in man-on-man coverage. So Mike Evans is number 2 on Matthew Barry's list. Najee Harris, number 3 on Matthew Barry's list. Number 4 is the one I took in the ninth round. Again, not in a tight end mandatory league and not as a starter. I already had 3 starters to play, all positions for pass catchers, but I took George Kittle. Barry points out Kittle had just a 15% target share, or as I like to call it, volume in the offense when CMC, Debo Samuel, and Brandon Ayuk were all active. Of note, I own CMC and I own Ayuk in the same league where I have Kittle. So if Ayuk goes down, I can just put Kittle in for him. J.K. Dobbins, I agree with this one. I don't want anything to do with Ravens running backs because in the end, Lamar Jackson's going to outrush them all, and they don't seem to stay healthy in Baltimore. Neither does Lamar. Dak Prescott, yeah, an observation I've made too over the last couple years. The first thing Matthew Barry says is Dak doesn't run anymore, only averaging 11.7 rush yards per game over the last 2 years. He mentions how Kellen Moore left, and all the great things offensively that Dallas did under Kellen Moore. I still believe in Mike McCarthy, considering he's won a Super Bowl and all the big offensive numbers he put up in Green Bay. And it's not like McCarthy would have signed off on the game plan and the way Dallas did things under Kellen Moore. Now McCarthy has control. So I still think Dallas is going to be a big time offense. But even in my foundation league, Dak Prescott was selected as a 10th round quarterback. I believe selected by an owner that went with the zero quarterback theory of let me get all my other positions and then I'm going to do the best that I can with the available quarterbacks, and he took Dak. Drake London is next on Matthew Berry's list, and it's a very simple explanation. Falcons didn't pass last year, and now they added Bijan Robinson, who will demand touches. I also will add another step to this. I don't think Desmond Ridder is a worthy NFL starting quarterback, so I don't think he can consistently get Drake London the ball. Alvin Kamara is next on Barry's list, and he talks about how it's not just the suspension. He talks about things that I've talked about here on the podcast over the last couple years about how when Kamara went from an RB2 to an RB1 in New Orleans, the numbers were actually worse for Kamara, and his receiving yards dropped off and his receiving touches dropped off significantly. Then Jonathan Taylor is on his list. Where did Taylor go in my foundation league? I believe Dave took him seventh pick for Jonathan Taylor, who has as many question marks as any player of significance in fantasy football right now. And let's see. I like how Barry writes, Taylor and his team hate each other. They do. Deshaun Watson is 10th, and I've heard Matthew Berry talk about this on Peacock, how the last time we saw him perform at an elite level was a few years ago, and time moves fast in the National Football League. I made that observation in our Foundation League when in the 12th round, Ezekiel Elliott and Odell Beckham Jr. went within 3 picks of each other. That shows you how time moves on. I like how I've called certain players boring, but they're productive. Matthew Berry calls them unsexy. It says, and they help you win. They do. So check out the rest of Matthew Berry's column on Roto World. The last thing I want to do is take a look at a fantasy draft of one of my podcast league players, a very smart player, and he shared with me, I received a few fantasy drafts that I solicited, and I still am. Send them to me at right.todd@yahoo.com. And this player in my podcast league in this separate league had the 6th overall pick in a serpentine draft of 10 total teams. So let's take a look at what he did. He didn't send me the whole draft. He just sent me who he selected. So he took Tyreek Hill with the 6th overall pick. Interestingly, that is exactly what happened in my foundation league to a 2-time league champion who also is a geoscience professor at USF and literally plays fantasy football from a numerical standpoint. He is British. He has come to understand and enjoy the American football game, but he is a numbers guy, and that is why he wins in fantasy football. And he took Tyreek Hill 6th. And obviously, I endorse this based on how good Tyreek Hill was to me last year in all my leagues. He took Josh Jacobs in the 2nd round. Jacobs lasted a little longer in my league. I wish he had fallen two more spots to me. But instead, in my league, the guy who took Tyreek Hill took King Henry. So still, dominant workload, touch count, production from last year. I mean, Henry was number two, right, among running backs last year to Jacobs. And the difference in my leagues was a little more than a point and a half for the season. So similar philosophy there with his second round pick. He got Mahomes in the third round. That is phenomenal value to get Mahomes or Allen or Hurts. Outside round two, I think, is a rarity this year. He took Debo in the fourth round. Funny, the owner I'm comparing him to, who had the sixth pick in my foundation league, took Debo in the third round. So maybe I ought to introduce these guys. I'm big on the Niners, but because of McCaffrey, I don't feel as strongly about Debo's production. I think Ayuk's arrow is pointing up. McCaffrey will have a significant amount of touches, and that's why I'm skeptical on Samuel and would rather have Ayuk than Samuel. Or we've compared Debo to some other players. At one point, I told you I agreed with some analysis from thousands of mock drafts that were taking Devontae Smith ahead of Debo. He took Alexander Mattison in the fifth round. That's interesting because I got Alexander Mattison in the seventh round. Mattison is going from RB2 to RB1, which many running backs cannot do. But we're going to know pretty quick. Opener against Tampa Bay, and then week two, what we got in Alexander Mattison and whether it's sustainable. So that's his second running back. I took Mattison as my third running back, and obviously got good value on him since Foundation League is also a 10-team league. Then he took Tyler Lockett in the sixth round. I love that. As an owner of Tyler Lockett last year, with a lot of stability in that offense. Granted, Smith and Jigba should receive some of the passing volume from Geno Smith. But Lockett, for the most part, reliable share of hands, will not draw priority coverage with DK Metcalf on the field, especially in the red zone. Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round. Another fun connection here. The same owner I've been referring to that picked sixth in a 10-team league in my foundation league that also took Hill and Debo took Pacheco in the sixth round. This owner takes him in the seventh round. Then he took David Montgomery. I could be wrong about Gibbs. Now, we did hear from a Lions coach about Gibbs that they sort of teased us by saying, we're going to use him in ways no one expects. So Montgomery and Gibbs may be on the field at the same time. So there may be more value in Montgomery than I thought. And this particular player in the podcast league, in his one of his other leagues, took him in the eighth round. Sky Moore, yeah. Player I'd like to own. Ninth round, Kansas City did a lot of off-season work with Patrick Mahomes. Then Zay Flowers at 10. I think very highly of Zay. I just don't think very highly of the quarterback who needs to get him the football. Then Charbonnet in the 11th round. Do I have this right? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, Charbonnet from Seattle. Then Zeke, who is brought in for touchdowns. I mean, if there's just an obvious touchdown vulture this year, it's Ezekiel Elliott in New England until further notice. Then Dalton Kincaid, I want to believe there as well. Then Jared Goff as his backup quarterback. And then He does play in a league that still does DST, so you take that last. I guess they do DST instead of kicker. I do it the other way around. He took the New York Jets. Thank you for sending me your fantasy draft. I look forward to seeing all of my podcast league players at Hooters in the coming days. And all of you send me the results of your drafts, and so we can sort of talk about them, or I can offer you an opinion or two. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Remember, they are celebrating 40 years on the 4th of each month in 2023. They have throwback events with 83-cent wings and other great specials. We're going to have a good time at Hooters for the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Draft. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.